This is Barry Werhoftig, and I'm the lead guitarist and the founder of the Hot Club of Philadelphia.
Great. Thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
We're here to talk about gypsy jazz. What is gypsy jazz? How did that term come into being?
So that's sort of the default term for the style of music that Django Reinhardt and Stephan Grappelli, you know, developed from listening to hot jazz. It was their sort of European version of hot jazz. So they were listening to, you know, Louis Armstrong and these other artists, and they came up with their own flavor on it.
Jazz had its roots in the American South.
Yes.
And it traveled in the 20s, I guess, over to Europe and other places, and it influenced a lot of styles of music. So what was gypsy music like before jazz?
I guess what he was doing was he was adding some French musette, you know, these waltzes that were played in these rough places, actually, where they had dances. He came up playing that music, which is accordion-based mostly. But so he added this, you know, French influence. And the gypsy influence would be sort of this, the dark minor stuff. And the he used a lot of ornamentation and tended to play the guitar like a guitar with a lot of open strings sort of things. And, you know, that is very sentimental, but very emotional. I think that that's the gypsy, the soul kind of thing.
Is gypsy jazz kind of rooted in the guitar?
Yes. You know, he actually started out on a six-string banjo, Django. But yes, it's really rooted in the guitar. And in gypsy jazz, you have this rhythm, which is called the pomp, or, you know, which means pump in French. So in Django's, first it was a quartet, then a quintet. There were actually three guitar players. Sort of like Leonard Skinner. Well, Joe could say that, but so I can play the pomp a little bit to give you an idea. So the pomp is this sort of percussive thing, sort of like. So it's played, you know, with a real snap to it, and they would always have at least two guitars doing that, so it's very powerful. You know, it's just like a train coming down the track, you know. And even though Django played with horns and with drums, he and Grappelli are really known for the, you know, Hot Club material that they did that didn't, you know, that was mostly just the three guitars, bass, violin.
When he was introduced to jazz, had he already developed a distinctive style because his left hand was injured in a fire?
He was just a virtuoso. He didn't read music at all. And I'm not sure how much of a style he had, but he, you know, before playing jazz or his own style. But he was, by the way, influenced by Eddie Lang and Joe Venuti, and as Grappelli was. So there's a Philadelphia connection. But I think he really tried to emulate Louis Armstrong. Like when I hear Django and I hear these sort of real percussive things that he does up high, and these, you know, the glissandos, to me it sounds like it's very punchy, like a trumpet. So I think that he probably really started to develop his own style, influenced very much by these American players.
So he and Grappelli co-founded an ensemble called the Quintet de Hot Club de France.
Yes.
What was the role of the Hot Club of France?
That's a great question. So, you know, originally it was the place that people that were into that style went to hang out, and they had concerts there. So the group didn't have a name in the beginning, and it was a Charles Delaunay, I think, and I forget the other fellow's name, but they were enthusiasts, and all the other enthusiasts went and they hung out. They listened to these records, these 78s, and they had concerts. And so I think after a few shows, they thought, well, look, why not call the group the Hot Club of France, you know. There are, of course, hot clubs all over the world. And even my band, the Hot Club of Philadelphia, we actually host other hot club-style bands. So it's kind of, we're still doing that, you know, keeping that tradition.
So gypsy jazz is like jazz in some ways, but also very distinctive in some ways.
Yes, it's, I guess you'd say syncretism. It's coming up with a new style by melding these other styles. So, like, they would play songs that were popular at the time. They would play I Can't Give You Anything But Love, and you know, these other songs are Exactly Like You. were pop tunes, but they did it in their own way. They would listen to the records if they were doing a cover tune, and they would listen to it once and go in the studio and play it.
So it was like the gypsy music in its kind of dark,
yeah,
chromatic flavor, and
yes,
and it was like jazz in its improvisation and rhythm.
Yes, and it's freedom, you know, the freedom with the melody again, which is Armstrong, and that's why he was so iconic. And you can almost say, really, there wouldn't be a hot club without Louis Armstrong. I mean, because he just his freedom with the melody and time and everything else. But they had that dark, those dark sounds, you know. It's also, to me, I grew up playing klezmer music. I'm Jewish. It was a big part of my experience growing up and hearing these groups, and the klezmer and the gypsy music is sort of very happy and very sad at the same time. You know, it's that's one of the qualities that really sort of attracted me to it.
The fact that Django injured two of his fingers in a fire when he was 15,
right,
and they were left partially paralyzed, affected the way he played the guitar. Does
right.
that affect the music in the art?
Yes. Good question again, Susan. I think that because his third and fourth fingers were basically sort of fused together, so he had to play his melodies more across the neck rather than going, from left to right over the fingerboard. So even though we don't all play with our first and second fingers, in almost a subliminal way, maybe unconscious way, maybe, I think that it has affected, how most of us have learned at least the style. So I think it is in there, yes.
When you learn the style, if you're learning the style,
yeah,
if someone's teaching you this style in particular, what do they tell you to do in terms of the sound you're trying to get?
Right. It's very percussive. The way that the notes are played would be the way that a flamenco guitarist plays. So when a flamenco guitarist plays, they play apoyando, which is rest stroke. So it's louder. If I play with my thumb free stroke, not landing on the next string, it's not super loud. If I rest stroke, I'm landing on the next string and it just makes it louder. So it has that, people say it sounds like flamenco, and it uses some of the same scales, and it's very, very percussive. It's picked much more sharply. So, and that part of that's the guitar, but part of that is the pick and the technique. So the technique is different, and when you first learn it, you'll have migraines for a. It's maddening. The first 6 months are like torture, and then the joke is they say, well, in learning gypsy jazz, the first 50 years are the hardest.
So when you put this CD together, which is Gypsy Roots, which has this tremendous variety, like when I first started listening to it, I was thinking, wow, this sounds like Hungarian music, and
yes,
this sounds and it sounded like there was such variety. I was trying to figure out what makes them all fit under gypsy jazz.
That's a great question. I hope I have a good answer. Just kidding. I think that, if you look at these different songs, there's standards. There are some pieces that my friend T.T. Bamberger, who's a German gypsy, plays rhythm on, and he sings Besame Mucho. He sings it in German, which I don't think you can get more multicultural than all of that, And I think they're tied together because gypsy jazz can encompass these Hungarian melodies like the Zsardas, which it's a classical piece, but it came from a gypsy theme, obviously. So that's sort of a more virtuosic classical version of it. But you have these standards, and you have some Django tunes, and there's a bunch of waltzes on there. There's Bistro Fada, which was written by my friend Stefan Remble, who I also studied with. And that's in a Woody Allen film, Midnight in Paris. But, just that waltz feel. Just creates this mood. It's an amazingly popular piece. Every time we play it, people just go, oh, well, we love it. We put it with Indifference, which is a Musette piece, and we just put them both together. The accordion starts out playing Indifference, and then we go right into the Bistro Fada, and just sort of showing where, you know, Bistro Fada is sort of related to, you know, these Musette waltzes, and that's sort of classical too. I mean, it has those elements because it's not really improvised. You know, we just play it pretty much straight.
So tell me about the Hot Club of Philadelphia. When did that form?
Okay, sure, gladly. I started that around 2001. I met some people through these news groups, you know, online, and there were some people that were local, so I messaged them and said, hey, let's get together, and I just wanted to play this music. I think when I started, I was already a full-time musician. I was playing, you know, other styles, and I don't know that I really was thinking of how far I could take it when I started. I just loved playing the music, and we started to do a few gigs around town, and the response was just so amazing, like almost right from the beginning, when we were just sort of figuring out really how to do it, right? I think we're still, you know, we'll all be figuring out forever, you know, but we had such a great response, and it just, you know, grew from there.
Well, that's great. Well, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.